A flame burned in the stomach as in a furnace within. There was nothing at all light and thin you could apply to anyone's limbs to give relief, only wind and cold, always. Some flung their limbs, burning with disease, into cold rivers, casting their naked bodies into the waves. Many plunged headlong deep into well water, falling in as they came with mouth agape. An unquenchable thirst, drenching their parched bodies, made a heavy downpour seem no more than a few drops. And there was no respite from the affliction. Their exhausted bodies lay prostrate. Medicine muttered in silent fear, seeing how often their eyes, wide open, burning with disease, rolled about, deprived of sleep. And besides, many signs of death were given then. The mind's understanding thrown into confusion by grief and fear, a grim brow, a wild and fierce expression, ears, moreover, troubled and full of ringing noises, breath frequent or else deep and rarely drawn, and a glistening wetness of sweat streaming down the neck, thin, scant spittle, tinged with the color of saffron and salty, brought up with difficulty through a hoarse cough from the throat. In the hands, truly, the sinews contracted and the limbs trembled, and from the feet the cold did not hesitate to creep up little by little. Likewise, right up to the very last moment the nostrils pinched, the tip of the nose sharp and thin, the eyes sunken, the temples hollow, the skin cold and hard on the face, the mouth gaping, the brow remained stretched taut. Nor did the limbs lie over-rigid afterward in death. And on about the eighth bright light of the sun, or else on the ninth torch of day, they gave back their life. And if any of them, as happens, had escaped the death that kills outright, yet later, with foul ulcers and a black flux of the bowels, a wasting in death still awaited him, or else, often with a great pain in the head, corrupted blood would flow, filling the nostrils. Into this, all a man's strength and body flowed away. And whoever had escaped this sharp flow of foul blood, the disease would still pass into his sinews and limbs and into the very generative parts of the body. And some, gravely fearing the threshold of death, lived on, deprived by the knife of their virile member, and not a few remained without hands and feet, yet still in life, and some lost their eyes. So sharp a fear of death had come upon them. And forgetfulness of all things seized some, so that they could not even recognize themselves. And though many unburied bodies lay on the ground, one on top of another, still the race of birds and beasts either sprang away far off, to escape the sharp smell, or, once it had tasted, sickened, with death close at hand. And yet in those days scarcely any bird at all appeared, nor did the grim races of wild beasts come out from the woods. Most of them sickened with the disease and died. Above all, the faithful strength of dogs, laid low in the streets everywhere, gave up its life with difficulty, for the force of disease wrenched life from their limbs. Vast funeral processions, unaccompanied, vied to be hurried away, and no sure common method of cure was found. For what had granted one man leave to draw the life-giving breezes of air in his mouth, and to gaze on the vault of the sky, was ruin for others, and was preparing their death. One thing amid all this was greatly to be pitied, and full of misery. That when anyone saw himself entangled in the disease, as though condemned to death, he lay there failing in spirit, his heart grieving, and, gazing on the funerals about him, lost his life then and there. For indeed the greedy contagion of the disease never ceased at any time to catch one person from another, just as with woolly flocks and horned herds, and this above all piled funeral on funeral. For whoever shunned visiting their own sick, too fond of life and fearing death, was soon after punished by a shameful and evil death, neglect slaying them, abandoned and destitute of help. But those who had stayed by went to their deaths by contagion and by exhaustion, which shame then compelled them to face, along with the coaxing voice of the weary, mixed with the voice of complaint. And so it was all the best who underwent this kind of death. Besides, by now every shepherd and every herdsman, and likewise the sturdy guider of the curved plow, sickened, and their bodies lay huddled deep within their huts, given over to death by poverty and disease. Over the lifeless bodies of children, one could sometimes see the lifeless bodies of parents, and in turn, children breathing out their life over their mothers and fathers. And no small part of that grief flowed into the city from the fields, brought there by the sickening throng of farmers, gathering in from every diseased quarter. The more they filled every place and building with the heat of disease, the more death piled them up in heaps, crowded together. Many bodies, laid low by thirst and rolling along the road and in front of it, lay stretched out by the fountains of water, their breath cut off by the excessive sweetness of the waters. And in many open places of the city and streets, everywhere, you could see limbs, faint with a half-dead body, filthy with squalor and covered with rags, perishing in bodily filth, skin alone stretched over bones, buried now almost in foul ulcers and grime. In the end, death had filled all the sacred shrines of the gods with lifeless bodies, and everywhere the temples of the heavenly ones remained burdened throughout with corpses, places which the temple keepers had filled up with guests. And no longer was the worship of the gods, nor their divine power, given much weight. Present suffering overwhelmed everything. Nor did that custom of burial remain in the city by which this people had always been accustomed to be buried before. For the whole city was thrown into panic and trembled, and each person buried his own kinsman in grief, as best he could. And sudden crisis and dreadful poverty urged many things, for people would place their own kin on others' funeral pyres, built up high, with great outcry, and set torches beneath, often with much blood shed in the quarrels, rather than let the bodies be abandoned, and people struggled over one another's pyres to bury their own dead. Worn out with tears and grief, they went back home, and then a good many took to their beds from grief. And no one could be found whom neither disease nor death nor mourning assailed at such a time.